You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, and we are back with a Thursday episode here of the show. And we're going to get right back into the swing of things. Now, we started this off on Friday of last week, but another mailbag episode is here. And I am more than happy with the questions that I got from everybody because there were good questions that were asked for today. And there were enough to fill out an entire episode. So we're going to be answering questions here for all three segments. And again, if you want to get in on the action and ask a question for next week's show, I post on Twitter on the Locked On Ravens Twitter at Locked On Ravens. And I retweet it from my personal account at ChaosRiker34. I ask if there are any questions that people want to ask me for today's show, for Thursday's show. And then I reiterate that on Wednesday night. And whoever asks me the questions, they will get those questions answered. Again, you can ask me more than one. Obviously, again, 10,000 questions might not be the way to go. I probably wouldn't be able to get to all of them. But if you want multiple things answered, I am here to answer them for you because we're in a time now where there are a lot of questions that are coming up. There's a lot of uncertainty. The Ravens roster at the moment is pretty set. I think there might be one or two more veteran acquisitions, whether it be by trade or by free agency. I think that that could potentially happen. But right now, we can get into the questions and just try to imagine what's going to be going on during this 2020 season, assuming there is football played, and I'm pretty confident that there will be football played in 2020. So with all that being said, we're going to jump right in. Again, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Tell your friends if they're craving that Ravens content. We have it for them 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. I also said the two Twitter handles that are of importance, at Locked On Ravens for the show, at ChaosStriker34 for my personal account. So we're going to jump right in to the questions, and I mean, what would these mailbags be? And we've only had two so far. This is the second, but Roberts B at B the dot. He asked me four questions last week, coming back with two questions of his own this week, and they're good ones again. So his first question, what position do you think needs the most improvement on the Ravens roster? This is an interesting question because when I look up and down this Ravens roster, what I see is not a lot of weakness and what I see is a lot of depth. The Ravens made sure that they used those 10 draft picks in the 2020 draft to fill out holes, but also to stock up depth, stack strength on strength. So when you look at the Ravens roster, I mean, we can run it down really quickly. Quarterback is pretty set. Running back is more than set. Fullback with Ricard, he's set. So the first position I'll say might be the most improvable position is the wide receiver room. And I don't say that because the players in the room aren't good, because you have Hollywood Brown and you expect Miles Boykin to take that second year leap. I mean, the issue is the veterans in the room. It's Willie Snead and Anthony Thomas, who I've said are the oldest in the locker room. At the wide receiver position, they're 27 years old. Now, do the Ravens need veteran leadership, or can these guys find it on their own? Now, obviously, veteran leadership helps, but maybe you bring in Taylor Gabriel from free agency. Antonio Brown's still out there. Again, I still haven't taken a side on that, and I don't think I will. But with the Ravens, that's where I see, I guess, the improvable parts of the roster at are the ability to bring in a veteran to maybe lead the younger groups. On the offensive line, you see them bring in DJ Fluker. At the outside pass rush, you see them bring back Pernell McPhee. That really helps a young positional group. And I think when looking forward to the future, and when these veteran guys who were signed to those veteran minimum deals like Pernell McPhee or DJ Fluker, when they're gone and off the roster, that helps guys like Tyus Bowser, Jalen Ferguson, guys like Ben Bredesen, Tyree Phillips, Matt Skura, even guys like Ronnie Stanley. It helps them develop their games. So I'm not saying that Willie Snead and I guess Anthony Thomas aren't worth, you know, the roster spot because they can't provide the veteran leadership. I don't think Anthony Thomas makes the roster right now. Willie Snead, I think, does. He's an excellent blocker, and I think he still has value on third downs. But maybe the Ravens decide to maybe fill that roster spot, the Chris Moore roster spot, with a veteran guy who can contribute from both a receiver perspective and maybe special teams as well, because Chris Moore at the moment, The Ravens like him for special teams, but can that value be replicated with another player who's signed to, you know, maybe a cheaper deal and doesn't take up the sixth roster spot of a receiver? So we'll see. Personally, I think it's just the veteran leadership. The two positions I'd kind of focus in on are the wide receiver position and outside linebacker. The reason I say outside linebacker, even though Pernell McPhee was signed to an extension or was brought back, is because it's only four outside linebackers on the roster right now, excluding the undrafted free agents. And you have Matthew Judon, Pernell McPhee, Tyus Bowser, and Jalen Ferguson. Maybe you go and bring in Clay Matthews and let Jalen Ferguson kind of learn for another year. Who knows? But personally, if the Ravens decide not to address another position for the rest of the offseason and kind of go with what they have now, I wouldn't be overly mad about that because, again, I mentioned the depth that they have. The roster is a little bit young, but overall, I think it is very doable to go into this 2020 season and still expect to be a Super Bowl competitor with the youth on their roster at the moment. And the second question that Roberts B at B the Dot asked me is, do you think we'll find a way to improve that position before the season starts sometime during the season via trade or next year's draft or even next year's free agency? And again, so we'll focus on receiver here. And the guys out there who caught my eye, at least after the draft, were Rashard Higgins and Taylor Gabriel. Now, Rashard Higgins went back to Cleveland. It really seemed like he was always in Cleveland, but I thought that he was really underutilized in Freddie Kitchens and his offense. So I thought that he could have been a good positional guy for them. He's just a veteran guy. But for me, I think Taylor Gabriel would be somebody who could come in and provide impact immediately. Also, when you look at the veterans just, you know, via trade, there are guys like Emmanuel Sanders who are out there every single year. Guys who are veterans on one-year deals who you can bring in midway through the year that I think could really make an impact. I mean, you saw what Emmanuel Sanders did going from the Denver Broncos to the San Francisco 49ers, and we saw what the Ravens did bringing in veteran pieces via trade with Marcus Peters, and you can even look at the offseason with Calais Campbell throughout the entire year in offseason. So with me, I don't think that the Ravens are necessarily hard-pressed to find a veteran receiver. I think they're going to draft a stud receiver, either in the first or second round if there is one available to them, because I think that would round out their crew. I also believe that, look, you see the Ravens interested in DeAndre Hopkins, and they were making a play for him. Maybe they don't trust the receiver room without the veteran leadership as much as we think they do. So some mixed messages there. Free agency next year, it's a decently deep free agency class, but I think the Ravens are going to start focusing their money on their own guys. You could go out and sign a guy like Keenan Allen. I'd really like that. I think he'd fit this offense tremendously, and he'd be amazing in this offense. But I think that for now, the Ravens kind of have their guys, their young guys, and I think they trust them to take a leap. I think the Ravens have the utmost trust and really believe in Miles Boykin to take that leap. So I think that with the receivers they have now, yes, they're a little young, but I think that it's more than doable to go into the season with them and still expect a pretty high output from them when you talk about production. Next, we have Too Sweet LP at Too Sweet LP asking, what running backs do you think will still be on the roster next year? I think Gus Edwards will probably get cut, same as Justice Hill. Too Sweet, this is interesting for me because after the Ravens selected J.K. Dobbins, I didn't think Gus Edwards would have a spot on the roster. Now, I didn't think that he would get cut, but I thought a trade was pretty imminent for him because I think that Gus Edwards is a phenomenal running back, and I'm sure I've said on this show before, and I think I've said it multiple times, that Gus Edwards, I would be totally happy if he was the one to ultimately replace Mark Ingram. He's amazing, averaging over 5 yards a carry in both seasons for Baltimore. I mean, he's a guy who, if you put in an offense, he is a downhill bruiser, a runner. But Eric DaCosta came out and he said that he wants the Ravens to employ those four running backs and have that four-headed monster with Ingram, Dobbins, Edwards, and Hill. Looking ahead to next year, I think the Ravens do want to see how Mark Ingram performs in 2020. He has a $6 million cap hit going into the 2021 season, and if Mark Ingram kind of takes that step back and J.K. Dobbins, or maybe it is Gus Edwards or Justice Hill, proves that they can take on a big load at the running back position, maybe they say, look, we have these guys who are young and they're on cheap deals. We need this money to go re-sign Ronnie Stanley or re-sign Marlon Humphrey. So either we need you to take a pay cut, Mark Ingram, or we're just going to have to let you go. Now, I think that Mark Ingram's veteran presence on this team, the amount of meaning that that has to this Baltimore offense and the team in general, you really cannot understate it. But the Ravens, you can't dodge the fact that they have a logjam at that position now. And it's a good problem to have. I mentioned the stacking strength on strength. But when you look at the Ravens and you look at the roster right now, they're going to be carrying most likely, if the Trace McSorley thing still goes the way they want it to and they don't trip Robert Griffin III, three quarterbacks and four running backs out of a 55-man roster. Now, obviously, the up in roster space from 53 to 55, that helps you. But looking to next year, personally, I think Mark Ingram stays, but I think it's on a reduced salary. I think they try to lower that cap hit a bit. J.K. Dobbins obviously is not going anywhere. I think Gus Edwards walks, though, and the reason I say that is because I think he's going to command a pretty decently sized contract for a running back. I think a team's going to try to snatch him up. He is on a one-year deal. He signed his exclusive rights free agent tender. So you look at that, and I don't think the Ravens are going to try to input a lot of money to re-sign him because I think Justice Hill stays. And then you have the three-headed monster just without Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards absolutely deserves a chance to start somewhere, and I think he's a phenomenal running back. I mean, he deserves the chance to start somewhere and prove. I mean, he's already proven it in Baltimore that he can be an effective running back with big carries. And I think that for Baltimore, that's going to be what they end up doing. I think Ingram stays, but on a reduced salary, Dobbins and Hill, with Edwards most likely being the odd man out, unfortunately, even though I really like Edwards and what he can do in this offense. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be answering more questions. But before we do that, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They're tasty, they're healthy, and it's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar with 16 amazing flavors, including mint brownie and peanut butter brownie. They have 8 chocolate and nut flavors and 8 chocolate and nut-free flavors. They're covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat, and they're great for the health-conscious person as well. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the second segment of this Locked On Ravens Mailbag Edition episode. Your host, Kevin Allstreicher, is still talking with you here. And we just answered a few good Ravens questions and we're going to answer some more right here in the second segment. So let's jump right in. And starting off with Ben Rose, who asked me two pretty good questions. One, does Deshaun Elliott take over at free safety in the event of an Earl Thomas injury? And this is an interesting question because right now the Ravens seem to have a lot of strong safeties on their roster, but not a ton of pure free safeties. Earl Thomas obviously fits that mold. You can put Anthony Levine there if you want to. You can also put Geno Stone there if you want as well. When you look at Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott, you know, they're both strong safeties, but I think if you had to move one over, I'd personally trust Deshaun Elliott to make that move. And the reason I say that is because I think Deshaun Elliott is extremely instinctively sound. And when you look at Chuck Clark, while he is very instinctive as well and has the football smarts, I think Elliott just has more range than Chuck Clark does. And Chuck Clark is kind of more fit to play that strong safety role. And if one of them had to move over, I think you would get the most out of it if you put Deshaun Elliott at free safety while still having Clark at strong safety. Something that the Ravens have also talked about is giving Jimmy Smith some snaps at safety, and I believe that they would want to use him at the strong safety position as well, kind of like what they did with Brandon Carr last season when Chuck Clark would come up into the box to play dime linebacker. You then have Brandon Carr, or I guess in this instance Jimmy Smith, go and play in his position at strong safety while having Earl Thomas play the free safety position. But the scenario, Earl Thomas, he's not on the roster right now. He's on injured reserve. So I think Deshaun Elliott would be that choice. I am very high on Deshaun Elliott. He is currently one of, if not my favorite player on the Ravens roster at this moment. You know, he is very, very underrated in my eyes. And part of that reason, of course, is because he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And with Elliott, that's the key for him. I think his potential is through the roof coming out as a late round pick. I mean, he's another guy who could be a diamond in the rough for the Ravens and have two diamond in the rough safeties playing next to each other. I think that they could potentially look at somebody to bring in like a Malik Hooker in the offseason, somebody who I think is getting a little bit disrespected by the Indianapolis Colts. But I think that he could be somebody who could really help their safety room, especially in the event that Earl Thomas does lose a step and, you know, maybe isn't worth that money next season. Although I do think he has two more years left in a Ravens uniform, Earl Thomas. But I think that Deshaun Elliott, he is the clear choice, in my opinion, to take over. I think the Ravens want to mold Geno Stone into more of, you know, an Anthony Levine type guy. I think he could take over that role. You could also see Deshaun Elliott be molded into that as well. Two guys in Stone and Elliott who were very instinctive. Again, that's the word for them. They want guys who know what's going on around them, who can predict things. Chuck Clark, just because, you know, he's a big hitter, strong safety, who can cover a lot, that doesn't mean he does not know the game of football. Obviously, with the green dot in his helmet, that obviously means he's a pretty smart football player. But so I think Elliott, he's that guy for me. I'm really a big fan of him, and I think that he's going to perform really well this upcoming year because I think he just has so much potential and is a big hitter, instinctive, and can do a lot of things very well. The second question that Ben Rose asked me, any pass rushers worth making a trade for if it's not too expensive? I think the Ravens like what they have right now. I think that was further kind of pushed along by the fact that they re-signed Pernell McPhee. For me, I think Clay Matthews still would be a phenomenal fit. Now, when you look at trade, Von Miller's a guy who's been on my radar for the last few years, although Von Miller is making a lot of money, something that the Ravens would not be able to pay with their current salary cap situation, as well as what their future salary cap situation is most likely going to look like when you have to re-sign pretty much your entire offense to big deals because your entire offense is people who contribute very well and are good players. I think the Ravens are going to kind of steer away from the trade market for the most part this year. I think one or two minor trades could be made. I don't think we're going to see a trade like Marcus Peters again. I don't know why the Rams decided to pull that off. He was on a cheap deal, was playing decently well, just wasn't a fit for their defense, I guess, and the amount the Ravens got him for was very minimal. The reports that were coming out at first were Marcus Peters for Hayden Hurst or Marcus Peters for Hayden Hurst in a fifth, but no. Kenny Young in a fifth was the deal. I think any worthwhile pass rusher is most likely either going to cost too much or just isn't a great system fit. Someone who's more of a 4-3 guy by the way of outside linebacker. I think the Ravens want to use this year to gauge what they have in their young guys while also making a Super Bowl run. And I think that the defense is fully capable with guys like Matthew Judon and Tyus Bowser, Jalen Ferguson, and I think Pernell McPhee is very underrated. They want guys who can move all over the defense. I think Jihad Ward also, I think he's kind of a forgotten man in all of this because he, I think, is going to get some more outside linebacker snaps this year. He's somebody who can line up at defensive tackle as kind of a tweener. You can line him up at defensive end. You can line him up at outside linebacker. But I think with the Ravens and all of the acquisitions they've made with Derek Wolfe and Calais Campbell, Justin Madubuike, you look at Broderick Washington. I mean, the Ravens have a plethora of guys who they can move all around the defensive front, and I think included in that is Jihad Ward, but I think they're going to give more snaps to guys like Justin Madubuike on third down, maybe defensive tackle, put Calais Campbell out there on third down, Derek Wolfe. So that doesn't leave a place for Jihad Ward unless it's really on the outside, and I think that's where he's going to get a lot of snaps. So I think that there are a few guys you could look to make a trade for, but I don't think they're going to make an impact on this Ravens team, you know, immediately unless it's somebody who's a decently big name like a Clay Matthews, and obviously he's a free agent. But I think the Ravens like what they have. I think they want the continuity from 2019 to 2020, especially because of the coronavirus pandemic. So you look at that, and I think that, yeah, Von Miller could be a target next offseason if he wants to come on a cheaper deal, 1 year $10 million, 1 year $12 million. But I think for Baltimore, they are set at the edge rusher position unless a guy like Clay Matthews comes in. Finally here, before we head into our second break, Marty Kelly at MartyK1 asked me, what's your best guess on the offensive line left to right here? I'll start. Stanley. Yeah, yes. Obviously, Ronnie Stanley is going to be the guy at left tackle. There is no question about that. And, from left to right, I can go left and right. Orlando Brown Jr. will be the guy at right tackle for me. The real question is the three guys on the interior. And I think I'm going to pull a shocker pick here, and I'm going to say Ben Bredesen is the guy at left guard. I think he is very instinctively sound. I think he's going to pick up this offense very quickly. I love Bradley Bozeman, and Spencer has talked about how impressed he was that he was able to work from center and become a great left guard. But I think that Bredesen just has all the intangibles. 4-year starter at Michigan. I think that even though he's a rookie, he could still be put in there as somebody who I think can be a productive left guard early and often. At the center position, I'm going to go with Matt Skura. I was a Matt Skura, I'm not going to say hater, but I wasn't very impressed with him throughout his first few years in the league. But he blew me away last season in the limited time that he had. The question for him is just coming back from that injury, and he's posted all the videos of him lifting those weights and getting back on track. I'm going to bet on that. I'm going to bet on those videos, and I'm going to say that he doesn't miss a beat. He doesn't miss a step, and he gets back into form, and that Matt Skura is the best Matt Skura, and that Matt Skura is the best center on the Ravens roster. So we're going to go with Stanley, Bredesen, and Skura. Right guard is where it gets interesting. For me, it's down to either DJ Fluker or Ben Powers. And I'm going to go with Ben Powers, a little bit of a youth injection on that offensive line. But I think the Ravens did not sit him for a year for nothing. I think that Marshall Yanda's teachings were very underrated. I think that the ability to learn behind someone like Marshall Yanda is very underrated. And although he did get limited playing time in the Pittsburgh Steelers game in Week 17, he impressed me with that playing time. So I think it's going to be Ben Powers there, and then obviously Orlando Brown Jr. So I'm going to say Ronnie Stanley, Ben Bredesen, Matt Skura, Ben Powers, and Orlando Brown Jr., with DJ Fluker being your swing guy from offensive tackle to offensive guard, and with Bradley Bozeman being your swing guy from center to guard positioning as well. We're going to head into our final break here, but when we return, we're going to be wrapping up the rest of the questions here on our mailbag episode, so stay tuned, and we will be back soon. Welcome back to the final segment of this Locked On Ravens mailbag episode. Kevin Ostreicher is still hanging out with you here. And we're just going to dive right into the final questions that we have here for this episode. We're going to start off with Andrew Sequeira. Do you think the Ravens have well-equipped themselves to finally defeat the Chiefs? And I believe they do, and they have. And the reason for that is because with the Ravens, they only got better. Now, they did lose a few pieces. Yes, Marshall Yanda will hurt. Hayden Hurst will hurt as well on the offense. I mean, Michael Pierce, is that going to hurt if Brandon Williams is putting up that production? Josh Bynes, Patrick Owusu, does that hurt? I mean, for me, the Ravens filled the holes that they needed to in order to defeat the Chiefs. I think that with Patrick Mahomes, you have to get pressure on him and force him out of the pocket. And now Mahomes, you know, he's a magician and a wizard outside of the pocket. But you have to, you know, if you just give him time to stand in there and gun the ball downfield to Tyreek Hill or dump it in there to Travis Kelce, they just got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so are they going to be able to do stuff with him? I mean, you have to get him out of the pocket. You have to disrupt him. With the Chiefs, their offense is so deadly because of their speed, and I think that the Ravens, they were missing a few key pieces in that game. Jimmy Smith wasn't there, you know. It was interesting to see them. I mean, the Chiefs didn't have Tyreek Hill or Eric Fisher either, but now you look at a team, they lost guys like Reggie Ragland and Emmanuel Ogba, and Bashaud Breeland isn't going to be there for the first four games, so you have to look at that as well. And I think that for Baltimore, they got better at interior pass rush. They now have a four-headed monster at running back. They have better receivers. The Chiefs' defense didn't improve all that much. Now, Tyrann Mathieu, Chris Jones, just a few of the guys, Frank Clark, who are studs on that defense. But I think that personally, I mean, it's always going to be a close game when you talk about the Chiefs and the Ravens. I know that this is a game, the Chiefs in particular, that Lamar Jackson just, he wants to get over that hump so badly of defeating the Chiefs. The first step should be defeating the Chiefs at home. Second step should be going and defeating them at Arrowhead. So for me, I think that the Ravens have done enough. I think that, yes, you have to be a little worried about the no Marshall Yanda factor because Chris Jones, you know, he's one of my favorite players in the NFL, to be completely honest. I mean, he was a guy I wanted in a Ravens uniform pretty badly. But, I mean, he's now playing for the Chiefs again, and so the Ravens will have to combat that with, you know, if we go back to last segment with my Ben Powers pick, that's going to be Ben Powers' job. Maybe they'll line him up over Ben Bredesen or maybe directly over Matt Skura. Who knows? But for me, I think the Ravens have done enough to be able to defeat the Chiefs. And, Andrew, you make good points about the Ravens being able to beat a Chiefs defense that lost Reggie Ragland and Fuller, Ogba, Breeland is suspended for the first four games, a few of those guys I mentioned. And the Ravens' defensive front, I do believe, as you mentioned, Andrew, can dominate that Chiefs' interior offensive line. Next, we have a question from Dan Mueller at DMuley asking, does Hollywood become the first homegrown talent drafted wide receiver for Baltimore to make the Pro Bowl in his second season? And this question is interesting because I fully believe that Hollywood Brown is a prime breakout candidate. But first, let's look at the receivers in the AFC who could potentially make the Pro Bowl. So you have guys like Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, Juju Smith-Schuster, AJ Green, just in the AFC North. I mean, you can look at Tyreek Hill, Cortland Sutton. I mean, there are so many guys I'm probably missing right now. DJ Chark, T.Y. Hilton. DeAndre Hopkins is gone, but does Brandon Cooks make a leap potentially? Who knows? I'm forgetting a few guys, I'm sure. I'm going to go against that and say that Hollywood Brown does do it. And for me, the reason is because Hollywood Brown, 46 receptions, 584 yards, and 7 scores in just 14 games for Baltimore. He was playing with a screw on his foot. He was not playing completely healthy. We've seen the glow-up, I'll call it, from Hollywood Brown in terms of just sheer size. He's only 5'9", still, only 170 pounds, but he was playing well under that weight last season. He has more experience at the NFL level. He has the ability to go and play with Lamar Jackson again, and, you know, Lamar Jackson will help your production quite a bit. I think that this is a trend breaker for Baltimore in terms of they have not been able to develop wide receivers. They have not been able to draft the right guys. The homegrown talent hasn't been there. And that, in turn, I think, has hindered their offense because they've had to sign guys like Jeremy Maclin and Michael Crabtree, for example, who have come in and not really produced well. You then have guys like Mike Wallace, who produced a decent amount but wasn't, you know, the star that you want. Steve Smith Sr. came in and did really well. But, I mean, the Ravens want to begin to rely on their own guys. Hollywood Brown, I think this is really only the beginning for him. I mean, you look at Lamar Jackson's kind of come up from year one to year two. I mean, insanity, right? So I think that this is going to be a great year for Marquise Brown. Most improved could potentially be on there. Who knows? But I think this year is the year that Hollywood Brown puts the rest of the NFL on notice, really. And finally, we have a question from Raven Fan Central at Raven Fan Central saying, what's more exciting for this upcoming season? A, the addition of a ferocious Calais Campbell, or B, the potential blow-up of a healthy Hollywood Brown? And so we can go back to Dan Mueller's question and kind of link the two together, because my answer is going to be B, the blow-up of a healthy Hollywood Brown, or at least the potential of it. Now, adding Calais Campbell, there is no denying that that excitement factor for me is through the roof. But just having a guy in Hollywood Brown who has worked so hard this offseason, who played through so much pain in 2019, has worked for everything, was considered too small, too fragile, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. You know, to see him succeed is all that I want. To see Lamar Jackson succeed is all that I want. Because guys like that, and I'm not just limiting it to those two guys, there are plenty of guys on this Ravens roster and throughout the entire league who are like this. But to see guys like that have their dreams realized, to see guys like that show other teams that, hey, you made a mistake passing on me, that's what I love to see. Calais Campbell, we know what type of player he is. We know the impact he is going to have. With Hollywood Brown, we can only imagine the impact that he's going to have, because he had such a big impact in 2019. Now let's move forward to 2020 and imagine him fully healthy. Imagine him in this Ravens offense utilizing his skill set the way that it's supposed to be utilized. Imagine the trickery. Imagine being able to only have to single cover Hollywood Brown with full speed because of the other weapons on this Ravens offense. There are so many what-ifs for Hollywood Brown, but they're good what-ifs. They're good areas to look at and say, wow, I can't wait to see that, or I can't wait to see this. And you can say the same thing about Calais Campbell. But again, we know what a healthy Calais Campbell looks like. We know that Calais Campbell is most likely going to come on this field and dominate. We have certain expectations for him that honestly, we'd probably be pretty disappointed in if they weren't met. But for Hollywood Brown, I mean, you could say this guy could go for 1,500 yards, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was in more of a passing offense. I mean, personally, I think Hollywood Brown could go well over 1,000 yards, and this offense is extremely run-heavy. The possibilities are endless. The ways to use him are endless as well. And I think that's a big part of why I'm just so excited, and why I think everybody should be excited for the potential of a Hollywood Brown being completely healthy and contributing in this Ravens offense. So two really good choices for me to choose from. I'm excited for both of them, but I'm going to have to go with the potential blow-up of a healthy Hollywood Brown. That's all I have for you guys today. When we get back tomorrow, we'll be talking more Ravens talk, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.